Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Hermúdez Marín.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, there in Monterrey, Mexico, in the congregation pastored by Reverend Epifanio López and all the brethren there. May God bless you greatly, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, and may he continue to use you. May he continue to give you plenty of wisdom, understanding, knowledge of the divine program for this end time, and plenty of spiritual and physical health as well, and each one of us as well. For this occasion, let's read in 1 Peter, in chapter 1, verse 13 and on, where it tells us, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And there he writes, last day on the right, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. And he writes there, Revelation 10, from 1 to 11, Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Time of trial and of blessing. You may please be seated if you're so kind. Dr. William Soto tells us in the message, which he titled that way on that subject, it has part of that subject, We Will All Be Tested, and was preached on Wednesday, July 22nd of 1998 in Antofagasta, Chile. It tells us, throughout the biblical history, we can see that also when God placed the first couple here on earth, Adam and Eve, they were also tested. Every person who comes to this planet earth comes to be tested. Now, notice, Adam and Eve had been placed on this planet earth, and they had to go through a certain stage where they would be tested. Adam and Eve, while on earth, though they had God's blessing, they had not been adopted yet. Therefore, it is before being adopted, the individual, that the test comes to him. And they were tested in the Garden of Eden and fell. Therefore, they lost the right to continue living for all eternity. Now, what did they lose? Look. In the Book of the Ages, the unedited one, I have the booklet here, but that's on page 687 of the unedited Book of the Ages. Here on page 20 from the booklet, on paragraph 97, it tells us, What did we have at the beginning? Eternal life. We was heirs of the world. We had life. We never had to die. We never had to be sick. We never had to get old. We never had any worries. Whereas no funerals, no graves, nor evil, no death, no gray hairs. no stooped shoulders, no mourning, no crying. We had life eternal. We had the jurisdiction over all the earth. We was just a God. Look. And there he writes to the left, ye are gods. That's all. We were just a God. That's all. On the earth. Walked about. And if this tree didn't look right standing there, we'd say, be thou plucked up and set over here. And it would do it. The winds was blowing. We didn't want the winds to blow. Peace. Be still. And it did. And what did he come to do? To redeem all that back to us again. Oh, my. Get all that back again. And he draws a Star of David there to the on the right. Now, look. In the history of the human race, every child of God, just as Adam was tested, and Eve, throughout the trajectory, we see that it continued. Each individual had to go through a time of trial in his time. In this message, three kinds of believers, there Brother Branham mentions this to us. Look, starting from page, let's see here, page 12. There he's talking to us about hope. And he says, hope, another believer. Sometimes believers put to the test. Not sometimes, every time. For every son that cometh to God must be chastened, tried, child trained. And he writes there, every child. Remember the trials, the dusty roads, the hot sun of persecution. But the loyalty of your heart beats that material till she is ready to go into the mold. God's children is made up correctly on His Word. In other words, it is a special preparation. Even that is special. We are prepared by the Word. We are molded. For they are living examples, and the Word of God living through them. See, the trial comes to shake you, to put you to the very bottom, to see where you'll stand. They tested, try every son that cometh to God. Hope went through the trials and the tests. His children taken, everything else taken. The church members come, accused him of having a secret sinner, and tried to say everything against him. You see, throwing it to his face. But yet, he wouldn't listen to any of it. He knowed that he had met God's requirements. He knowed there's no need of Satan trying to tempt him. He knowed it was the devil. And as long as Satan can make him believe that his sickness was his God doing it, he had hope whipped. But when hope once struck that revelation that it was not God, he was only going through his trials to make him something. It wasn't God doing it. It was Satan doing it. And same thing today. He'll try to tell you these trials and things is your God trying to put punishment upon you. But it isn't so. No, sir. It's Satan doing that. And God permitting it to temper you. To make you see if you're tied to this earth by the earth cares or whether your treasures is in heaven. For wherever your treasure is, there you are also. That's right. Your heart is where your treasure are. Hope tried, yet he said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and the last day he'll stand upon the earth, though after my skin worms destroy my body. And he writes there to the left upwards for perfection, the trial. Amen. You cannot annihilate it. Though the skin worms eat it up, it still will come back again. Whom I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall behold, and not another. He said it, Hob. Why? He was a believer. In trials, he was a believer. In persecution, he was a believer. He was a genuine believer. Notice, in trials, we are believers. In persecution, we are believers. Because we are genuine believers. Joseph, another believer, he couldn't help being what he was. He was a prophet. God made him a prophet. He didn't want to be different from his brothers, but he was different. God made him what he is. Nobody else could take his place. Nobody can take your place, no matter how little. And there he writes, nobody can take your place. Nobody can take your place. You say, I'm just a housewife. Nobody can take your place. God, in his great economy, has so set so the body of Christ in order till there is no one can take your place. How I would like to take Billy Graham's place, any of us ministers, but we cannot do it. But just remember, Billy can take our place. See, we all have a place. Some of us are evangelists, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, whatever we are, some housewives, some mechanics, some farmers, whatever it is. God has sent you in your place. See? Joseph was a prophet. He couldn't help because he could interpret dreams. He couldn't help because that he saw visions. Watch how true he was. No matter if it cost him his fellowship with his brothers, he was true because he believed those dreams. He believed that the dream that he had, that they would all bow to him, the sheaves would. It come to pass because he believed it. He was a genuine believer. And there he writes at the top, God has placed you in the position that you are in. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, now, notice how the human being, when tested in the Garden of Eden, fell and did not reach the adoption. If he had passed the test and remained steadfast in the Word of God, he would be adopted. He would eat of the tree of life and live eternally. And it would not say here, and Adam lived, let's see, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. But rather it would say, and Adam has been here for this many years, and he's still alive, instead of saying, and he died. It would say, and he's still alive, and he will continue to live. Now, look, this is how it is said in history, and he lived this many years and died. And so-and-so lived this many years and died. And the prophet so-and-so lived this many years and died. And now, how will be said about us who will remain alive? It'll say this person and this person and that person and that person and that person lived this many years and he's still alive because we will be transformed. Meaning, you will not see death. That history is not in the scripture yet. But we are writing that story, and it will be recorded in the history of the human race. This person, that person from such a country, this person and that person from such and such a country, so-and-so lived this many years in that body and is still alive. So-and-so lived this many years in the earthly body and is still alive. That is something that has never been seen in the history of the human race, but it will be seen. And it will be recorded as history, where in the millennium, we will see all those characters who continued to live, meaning who didn't see death. Now, look, in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, on page 57, there he tells us, 57, about halfway through the page, it says, notice, redeeming back with him, going home, back to eternal life in a human body, eating, drinking, living forever. Isaiah said, they would build houses and inhabit them, plant vineyards and eat the fruit. They will not build and another take it. The children won't take it, but they will be there with their offspring. He'll build it and stay there. Amen? He don't build and another eat. He builds and eats himself. And he writes there, the children in the kingdom. Amen. What is it? His bride going back with him, redeemed back to the original Adam and Eve again, for death is left behind. They look back at the cross and see the death has been paid, and now by faith we are resurrected with him, sitting in heavenly places right now, looking back to what redeemed us, waiting for the husband to come to march on home with him. Threefold purpose of God manifested in Adam and Eve and every prophet and down through the ages, and he that is to come, he that was, he which is, and he which is to come. The whole manifestation, the revelation of the Word of God, Adam and Eve going back home again, redeemed. God is making himself known. There he'll sit upon the throne of David, that's right, and shall own, rule all nations with a rod of iron. And there he writes, the throne of David back to Eden. There will be a tree on each side, and each nation that comes in. Now, look, in there will be a tree on each side. He writes there, Elijah and Moses. And each nation that comes in, these leaves will be for the healing of the nations. Now, if that ministry is there, notice, that ministry brings healing. If it brought health while it was ministering on this earth to God's sons and daughters, bringing an eternal and glorified body, then it will continue to bring healing to the nations. Malachi chapter 4. Notice, because these ministries, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The ministries of Moses and Elijah are there. Arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. He will bring salvation. He will bring health. He will bring healing. The kings shall bring their honor into it, and there will be nothing that can defile or anything ever enter in. And Mount Zion will have a light on her all day and night, and the redeemed shall walk in that light. And on top he writes, Adam and Eve in Eden again. Now, what they rejected, which is what he wrote there on page 50 of this same book, of this same message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Look, he says, and in the last day it shall come to pass, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there could be a time come forth when he could express himself in the fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church, have the preeminence in this church. Oh my, what the anointed man, now the anointed people, oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom. Anointed by, why? Accepting what Eve turned down, and Adam, coming back with the anointing of the word, because he said, my word is spirit. See, anointed with the word. what Eve turned down, and he writes, title deed. He comes back, and we accept. See how that hybrid condition again, just exactly what he done Eve. He told Eve, don't you do this, and don't you do that, but you can do this and that. And on the right, he writes, the anointed ones with the word. The anointed ones with the word. And on the left, he writes, God incarnate. And below, notice, he writes, God today, or the bride today. Today, the bride accepts what Adam and Eve turned down, which was the word, the title deed. Today, the bride accepts what Adam and Eve turned down, which was the word, the title deed. Now, a bit further, he goes on to say, now, while God tested the people, he also tested the messenger, the prophet Moses. And this is in the case of Moses and his time. And even the prophet Moses could not enter the promised land on the other side of Jordan. Neither could those who had come out of Egypt from 20 years old and up. They could not enter the promised land except Joshua and Caleb, who were more than 20 years old when they left Egypt. And since they remained steadfast in the word of God, they entered the promised land. In other words, they received the adoption, they passed the test. Now, look, in this message, titled Stand Still and See the Salvation of the Lord, Reverend William Branham says there, so many times that we get all to a place where we cannot stand still and nervous, just as we start to do something good, then we see troubles coming. Look, and one says, but how can it be possible that now that I am on the right track, problems come to my way? Just as we start to do something good, then we see trouble coming. But that is the devil trying to upset the program of God. Notice he writes there, when we start to do good, the devil causes problems. When we start to do good, the devil causes problems. We find it in our individual lives. We find it in our church world. We find it in our national affairs. We find it everywhere. See, a person stops with a habit and starts to straighten up, and then they start to point fingers at him. Look, this man used to be like this, and now he's doing this. Well, but he is acting the right way according to the word, and it's wrong. And if he keeps doing what's wrong, then he's also wrong. Well, make up your mind. In other words, an elect of God is never right to the enemy. And then we can know that when we are getting ready to do right, wrong is always present. But the way to overcome that is to think in your heart which way God would have you to go and which is the best way, and then stay with that way. So, in this great day of hour of a frustration, the Lord spoke. He spoke through a little prophet standing near who said, stand still and see the salvation of God. You will not have to fight this battle, but as long as they were together and praying. It was God's battle. And I think the same thing applies tonight. In this great hour, where the great church people and the great churches are stewing and fussing with each other, and denominational barriers are breaking us apart, and we battle from this side and that side, it's time to stand still. It's God's battle. It's not ours to begin with. God wants us to stand still. And when God gets ready to do something, usually He commands His people to stand still. He commands his people to stand still. In other words, just as it happened on that occasion, stand still and see the salvation of God. He will fight for you. One time, when the test was on, when the covenant people had come up out of Egypt, led by the Holy Spirit, Moses, the great leader, and the spies had went over into the promised land, 10 of them came back and said, "We cannot take it. They are too great, and we are too small." But there was two men, Joshua and Caleb, or Caleb and Joshua, who had been over there, and they said they stilled the people. The first thing, one said this, and one said saying that. One saying, "Why did you bring us out? If that just isn't the condition today, I don't know it. Why did we do this and why do we do that?" And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, "We are able to go over and take it, because it depends on what you are looking at." Some of them were looking at the obstacle, the great armies, and the great walls, and the great giant side of that people. But Caleb was looking at the promise of God, and that's how God's elect are looking at the promise. And it was the hour had come when Caleb had to get the people still before he could tell them of the promise of God. And I think that's the very needy thing today, is for the people to stand still and see what God has promised. Let's turn to Chronicles. Chronicles chapter 2, so that you can have that scripture there. Chronicles, which is the one that we are reading in chapter 20, 2 Chronicles. So that you can have the scripture there at hand of what we are reading, and in this and of this case. Chronicles 20. Look, it says, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Cis, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Herel. Ye shall no need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you, because the battle, the war, is his." Now, he goes on to say, now, remember that since the third pool is for all three groups, and since it is the stage where that change of kingdom will be carried out, that battle of that change of kingdom will be fought. First, in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm, notice, it's the Lord with the people, with the elect. Because, remember, that at that time, he would be in the church bride in all his fullness. Therefore, it is him fighting the battle through us. It is the time when the church bride would be, and God, through that church bride, carrying out that battle, because that is the army that comes with him. Now, he goes on to say, and I think that's the very needy thing today, is for the people to stand still and see what God has promised. It's a day that God's fulfilling his promise. these things must be. They've got to come. Therefore, we must see God's promise and stand still and watch God's salvation move into it. God always works according to His word, stilling the people. When God gets ready to do something, the people is all torn up. The reason they were torn up in their journey is because there was a mixed multitude that went up, and the testing time came. Oh, I want you to notice this, that every time that God makes a move, there is usually a mixed multitude. It attracts the attention of all and creates a mixed multitude. When God makes a move, you'll find all kind of isms and everything moving with it. But the testing time came. God tests every son and daughter that comes to Him, no exception at all. God gives them the testing time to prove them. And there He writes, a mixed multitude. And God gives them the testing time. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say, now, those who entered the promised land were 20 years old or younger, of those who left Egypt, and those who were born in the wilderness. In other words, it was a young people who entered the promised land. And this stage of 40 years through the wilderness was a test. On page 4 from the Book of Quotations, that's where he tells us about this mixed people. Look. Page 4, paragraph 27. Brother, a mixed multitude. The phenomena had been done. A big revival was on. People were getting saved, coming in. And a group went up, impersonating that. They went up acting like they were believers. Sure, they put on their sandals and everything and got ready. But that same mixed multitude that taken communion and went on the march was the very ones that began to murmur. In other words, within the people, even though they came out of the same place, it seems unbelievable, despite seeing everything God did to deliver them. It seems unbelievable that when they left, despite seeing all of that, and also along the way, they began to murmur and cause the children of heart of Israel, their hearts, to turn back to Egypt again. That's what it is tonight. Brother, have a revival, and there will be a mixed multitude, certain as anything. And at the top he writes, a mixed multitude. Now look, in this other message, Time to Ripen, there he tells us, before reading this, that excerpt, there's another place here in quotations as well. It is on page, one of the even pages on this side here, where he also speaks about the mixed multitude, if you can find it there, where he says that, I don't know if he talks about Joshua there. He also talks about that. It should be in the first pages. Look, 34 of this page here, because this is where I had seen it. Page 34, paragraph 287. Now, when the supernatural is done in the dedication, when the supernatural is done, it excites people, makes them to get all excited and go haywire. When Moses done the supernatural down in Egypt, there was a mixed multitude that went with them, caused trouble in the camp. You know that. All the Bible readers are aware of that. It caused a mixed multitude, believers mixed up with unbelievers. It caused troubles in the camp later on. When the supernatural is done, it makes people excited and they go wrong. That's the same thing happened in your Pentecostal realm. That's the reason God can place us into the position where we should be in His body. For to one is given this sort of a gift, to another this sort of a gift, to another one another sort of a gift, and so forth, but all the same body. And there he writes, to the left, mixed multitude caused problems. Now, in this message titled Time to Ripen into the Light of the Word, preached on May 13 of 2011 in Talcahuano, Biobío, Chile, he says, so, those who will be interested in the third pool will be working on that place in which the third pool will be manifested. It doesn't matter what criticisms they make against those people. The important thing is what God says. The important thing is what God has in His program. On page 154 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1380, look, he says, what is that attraction up there on the hill? It's God making history and God fulfilling prophecy. And that always causes an attraction. It brings all the critics up, the vultures and the eagles also. See? They come together to find out what's going on. Some coming for curiosity, some coming to find fault. Others coming to criticize. There's all kinds gathered. And he writes, the attraction is due to God making history and fulfilling the prophecy. The attraction is due to God making history and fulfilling the prophecy. Now, he goes on to say, we know that a squeeze will come against the Church of the Lord, and none of us wants to provoke it. If someone provokes it, he will answer to God. If because of something that a person does wrong or against the program that God has for our time, he provokes or causes a squeeze to come, then God will hold him accountable later on. Look on page 264 of the Book of the Seals. Reverend William Branham tells us there, he says, the first paragraph says, so, is her daughter's been asked now, before being judged with her, to return back? Now, the last message they get is when this prophet that I've been speaking of, which I have been reading many books about it, and I know that real good, sensible, spiritual, and I know that real good, sensible, spiritual thinking man knows that is coming. They know that. They know it's coming, see? But the trouble of it is, they keep saying, we need it, it's going to be. And when it comes, that they'll be so humble, they will probably miss it just like they did other time. That's right, people will write about it and everything, saying, oh yes, it needs to be. And then let it be showed right before them, and they just go right on, see? So they always done that. And there he draws a Star of David there to the right, and he writes upwards, God in simplicity. Watch now, the original word, she had to repent to go back, yet so her daughters has been asked to be forced. They will be judged and thrown into the same bed and killed with her. They've been asked to turn back to the original word, go back to the apostolic doctrine, but they are so tied down with their creeds and things, they won't do it. They only make fun of it. And he writes there, Revelation 13, and he writes on the left, upwards, the image of the beast, and he writes, Revelation 13. Then what do? They finally form up in the image unto the beast, another power, notice, an act to the Lamb's bride. like she did in Revelation 13:14. That's right, they do, just to persecute, just the same thing. And he writes there, the squeeze. The churches make just as fun of the true bride of Christ as Rome ever did. Just exactly. Yes, sir. Acts to the real Lamb's bride, just exactly like she did in Revelation 13:14. Now, notice, we see by God's word of promise, he will kill her children, the denominations, her daughters, with spiritual death. And he writes, fifth dimension. Now, that's Revelation 2:22. Don't forget it. To kill is to put to death. And death is eternal separation from the presence of God. Think of that, friends. Think of that. Don't you trust in any man-made creeds. Anything that's contrary to the word, you keep away from it. And he writes there to the left, creed. Now watch, watch the Bible here. It says his name was hell, and I mean, his name was death, and hell followed after him. Now, hell always follows death in the natural. When the natural man dies, hell follows him. That's the grave, Hades. See, that in the natural. But in the spiritual, it's the lake of fire, see? All right, into eternal separation, where they are burnt up. And Malachi 4 said, don't you even leave them stubble or branch or nothing else. It's the way the world has of purifying itself again for the millennium, see? And he writes there, the sixth seal, Moses and Elijah. Have you noticed the writer is a he? And he had in his hand, man, false prophet, but his bride is called the church, she, Jezebel, Ahab, Jezebel, why, it's just as perfect as anything, see, see, daughters is she also, but never received one man headship, Protestants to that, but still harlot in principle, of their doctrine, denomination, systems, that's the way it was. Look, there on page 265, it says, notice, what is this all coming to? It's going right back the way it did. It started in heaven. It's coming to the end time battle. The first thing in heaven was a battle. Lucifer was kicked out and come to the earth. Then he polluted Eden. Then he's been polluting ever since. And now, from that battle in heaven, it's coming to the battle on earth. And it is to be finished on the earth at the end time, in the battle called Armageddon. Now, anyone knows that? The battle started in heaven, holy, and so they kicked him out. Michael and his angels overthrew him and was run out. And when they did, dropped right down to Eden, and he started the battle down here. There he writes Michael and Lucifer upwards, and he writes Armageddon there on the left. Now, look, in this message, the mystery of God's tabernacle, Dr. William Soto says, there on September 4 of 98 in Luna, Ciudad, Mexico, he says, now, you will see through these promises that the same thing the Father did with Jesus of placing him on his throne of the temple which is in heaven and of giving him all authority over all nations, peoples, and tongues, and to give him power over all creation, all power is given unto me in heaven and where else? On earth as well. And now Christ, just as he received that authority in heaven and that power in heaven, that is the same thing he does with the overcomer who will be present at the last day and who will be keeping the works of Christ until the end. And now, we find that none of the seven angel messengers of the seven ages received that authority over the nations, peoples, and tongues. But now, one will receive it, will receive that authority over the nations. That will be the messenger that will overcome who is alive in the last day, and there will only be once, and he will be the messenger of the age of the cornerstone. That will be the one who will receive all the authority because he will be the one who will be adopted while being alive at the last day. The others have already departed. They were not adopted while being alive. Therefore, they didn't receive that authority. In other words, this promise here speaks of adoption. Look, on page 34 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 286, it says, when he is getting his schooling, his training, yet he might not be able to exercise all authority. He hasn't got it yet. He is still a son. But he hasn't been placed, an ellipsis, God placed on him that robe of immortality, showing that he had received him. That's the thing that God will do to his sons here on earth someday. And he draws a Star of David there on the right. He will call you aside, church, if you only obey him and stay on the word and believe it, and he'll place into the church before the coming of Jesus Christ, he will place into the church all the powers that Christ had in him will be in the church. God wanting his work done, he sent it into his son. The son wanting the work done, sent it into the church. At that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. At that day, because the same power of God was in Jehovah God, resting in Jesus Christ, the same power that rested in Jesus Christ rests in the placed sons in the body of Christ, placing of a son. Take him out in a certain place, have a ceremony before angels, and placed him positionally what he is in the body of Christ, then that person has the authority. And there he draws a cornerstone on the right and the ages. Let me say this. If you count me a fanatic from this night on, that very same thing that I'm speaking of will be done. There will be a power put into the church, and now it's coming in, that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word, and it'll create itself right there. We haven't seen power like this, like it's coming into the church now. I know it for a fact. Say unto this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you've said shall come to pass. You can have what you have said, the placing of the church in position, where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the arrow towards the cornerstone, where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church, then critics' mouths will be shut. It'll be a short time. Jesus came right off the mountain, went straight to Calvary. Notice, it won't last long, but it'll be here. And he draws a cornerstone on the right and the ages, and he writes on top, it will be a short time, a spare time. Now, notice something he wrote here, and before reading what he wrote here at the top, the coming of the Lord. Remember that he comes as a thief in the night, and he comes to bring that rapture in faith. Now, Revelation 19, remember that this and many scriptures have multiple fulfillments. And Revelation 11, when that happens, now, remember that in the first coming of the Lord, when he resurrected, and the Old Testament saints resurrected with him, it says that they resurrected after his resurrection. Now, he appears on the scene first. And what about the children of God? What will they have in order to see that manifestation of that dimension on this earth where the resurrection will take place? Just take a look at that simple sentence, what he writes there. Already adopted before the coming of the Lord. Therefore, It is by adoption that every child of God will be able to see in that dimension. Otherwise, they won't be able to see what will be happening in those days. That is why he says, already adopted before the coming of the Lord. Whoa! Those are strong words, because God is telling you that you will obtain both consciences together while you are in this body, and you will be able to look in that dimension, and you will be able to see the first one, that first sheaf. Oh, glory to God! You will be able to see it, and you will be able to see that dimension open, and you will be able to know everything that will be happening in that sixth dimension, and you will be able to receive them, all those who are coming. We will give them a true welcome, just as they deserve. And we will know how to do it. We will know what to do during those days, because we will already have both consciences together, all of us. Just as He has it, so will the elect of God, the children of God, the church bride. Look, now, something came to me about what happens in the mornings. Remember when Brother Branham said in an occasion, when he said, give me 5 minutes with a person and I will know what spirit they are of. Meaning, each thing that he spoke at this time, everything is fulfilled, brought to present-day fulfillment in a way in which God brings together the first, second, and third pool combined and carries out the total fulfillment of the third pool. Now look, in the message, How Can I Overcome?, there we can see something else. On page 33, Reverend William Branham says, the person that was to take this place on one side and other one to take it on the other side, next to him in the kingdom, it wasn't yet given. See, hadn't been overcome. The test hadn't fallen yet. It'll fall in the future. If we suffer for Christ and His Word, we will reign with Him, for He is the Word. Remember, if we suffer with Him and His Word, we will reign with Him in His Word. And He draws a Star of David there on the left. He, our example, overcome and then ascended up after He conquered death, hell, sickness, grave, everything He conquered. Then He ascended up and led captivity captive, give gifts unto men. That was the Old Testament with the Old Testament saints that had overcame. They looked for such a person and they died before it got there. But when this person come, it didn't prevent them which were asleep. Amen. Cannot lose anyway. Live or die, what difference does it make? Won't prevent. Now, look, there he draws a Star of David at the top, and on the right he writes, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and this same thing will be fulfilled again at this end time in his second coming. Now, a bit further on here, in this same message that we are reading, the mystery of God's tabernacle, look, he says, the white horse rider of Revelation 19 is the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant. And now, how will he come at the last day? He says on page 256 of the Book of the Seals in Spanish, but when our Lord appears here on earth, he'll be riding a snow-white horse, and he'll be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate in a man. It's the coming of the Word coming in human flesh, in a man at the last day. Now remember that when Ananias and Sapphira was there, there were people who knew what was being carried out. They were Peter's helpers, and they knew what was taking place there. But have you noticed that those who were coming, they didn't know? Because if they had known, Sapphira would have surely said, "Look, I saw what happened. I'm going to tell the truth." She didn't know certain things that those who were there with Peter knew. They knew everything that was taking place. Therefore, they had certain knowledge that it was the Holy Spirit that was operating there through Peter. Meaning that in the third pool, there will be a group of elect that will know how to discern. They will know how to find out what the people have, whether it be thoughts, illness, or whatever it may be. If he is an adopted child, he will know everything. Now, that is the group that will stand hand in hand with that instrument in that stage, fully being a great blessing, as they were in the days of the apostles, the days of Ananias and Sapphira, a time which Brother Branham said would be repeated. Is the coming of the Word, coming in human flesh, in a man in the last day, a man of the end time, a man of this end time. That is the coming of the white horse rider of Revelation 19. Well, then, if it is a man of this time, then we have to search for the fulfillment of that prophecy and see where God is working. Now, the veil of flesh where he will come is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That was another veil of flesh that he had for his coming 2,000 years ago in the midst of the Hebrew people. When the Word, the angel of the covenant, which is the Word, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is the Word, became flesh and dwelt among the Hebrew people and carried out the work of redemption on Calvary's cross. And he had the name of redemption, Jesus or Joshua, which means Savior or Redeemer. But for the last day, the Holy Spirit will come manifested in human flesh in a man of this end time, in the house of God. And in which part of the house of God? Well, in the most holy place, in the age of the cornerstone. He has to be someone from the house of God. In the house of God is where the Word made flesh came, because it is in the house of God where the Word, the angel of the covenant, was manifested from Adam to Jesus. He drew for us, on one occasion, a drawing of the pyramid and the ages, and a pyramid and the ages, that is, two of them. And in one he showed that Israel also went through those seven stages as well. And the cornerstone was Jesus. And now the church bride, notice, also goes through those stages and is crowned with the cornerstone, with the coming of the Word. And of Jesus to this time, the Word, the angel of the covenant, in Holy Spirit has been manifested from age to age in the messenger of every age. And for the last day, for the age of the cornerstone, the angel of the covenant comes in human flesh in his angel messenger, making known to us all these things that must shortly come to pass, and thus preparing us to be transformed and taken to the house of our Heavenly Father, to heaven, at this end time. In this same message, how can I overcome? On page 35, Reverend William Branham tells us there, look, he says, and to those who look for Christ the second time, that can overcome the things of this world by his grace, to come into him and shut your eyes to everything else but him and his word. He will appear the second time in glory, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Those which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, be caught up together to meet him in the air. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. Whether I'm a spoonful of ashes or whether I'm living when he comes, it matter me no difference. Amen. Doesn't matter, because I've caught the vision. The veil rolled back and I see him, one that could stand and put his hand upon me, a sinful man, and upon a holy God. And he is my propitiation. He is the word that I stand for. In the beginning was the word. He is that word, and he represents me there. Amen. And I will scream it as long as I have breath. He is my resurrection and my life. All other grounds are sinking sand. All other grounds are sinking sand. As he caught them who looked for that, so will he come to each New Testament saint that overcome every denominational critic, who has ever overcome all popular sins of this day, of this age that we live in right now. Like he did in all the other church ages, those who overcome in that church age, those who overcome what? I'm rich, I have need of nothing, I have, I'm all this and all this, and I'm the bride, I'm this, I have need of nothing, and don't know that you're naked, blind. See that deceiving age that I said? It's not like them that had their heads cut off back yonder to get the white stone, not those who died under martyrdoms and burned with stakes and things like that, who won the crown, but it's this deceiving age, that is, the Laodicean age, that think that they are everything. Well, I'm the church member, I'm a good man, I'm a good woman, I do this, I don't have to do this. But he that overcometh. Now, that is what it says there in page 215, that it is to him that overcomes what? Or 115, look, 115 says, we all know as Christians that God swore to David that he would rise up Christ to sit on his throne and give him an everlasting kingdom here on earth. And he did. And Jesus said, he that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world, that is the overcomer, and those are the overcomers. He that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and have sit down on my Father's throne. See? Now, someday he rises from the Father's throne and goes to take his own throne. Now he comes forth to call his subjects. How is he going to claim them? He has already got the book of redemption in his hand. Glory. Now, notice, he writes there, the throne of the Father, the throne of the Son. And he writes, the overcomers sit on his throne, the church and Israel. And he writes below, a day that's still to come. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the arrow towards the cornerstone. Now, how will he claim them? He has the deed. The title deed is needed to make the claim. He that overcomes all those worldly things. I am continuing the message. How can I overcome? He that overcomes all those worldly things of this age, what will they do? All will sit with him in his throne. Will go in the rapture when he comes. And he writes there, the throne. They will sit on the throne. They will go in the rapture. Oh my, what do I care then? What should we care what the world says? What should we care what anybody says? The great Holy Spirit is among us. His pillar of fire leads us and guides us. His word is vindicated before us. His love is in our heart. The world is in the back. We've passed from death to life. The world thinks you're crazy. There's a place where he wrote, what is needed for the rapture is a crazy person, something like that, or to guide us. I don't know if you remember that writing, now that we read that. The world will say you are crazy. Now, that madness, yes, I don't know where it is. If you find it, send me the picture later. Now, look, he goes on to say in this message what's behind the door. Sunday, March 23 of 2014, he says, on earth is where those thunders utter their voices with God's final message for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who are going to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, look in the message, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. On page 37, he tells us, notice how we go. After the world's fire baptism, all germs is gone. Makes it a fit place then for heavens to dwell here on earth. Type now of sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, past from this dirty, like the little woman was, into the expressed attribute of God. Now we are the sons of God, not we will be. We are the attributes of God thinking, see? The attributes of God. Now, you say, well, look at this priest. Wasn't he a son of God? It proved he wasn't. He couldn't recognize what? Did he say, I believe the Bible? Sure, but he couldn't recognize the expressed word of the hour. And he writes there, the trial. The trial. Notice, that was the determining trial. To recognize the expressed word. To recognize what the prophets have said about what the Messiah would be like. And they had rejected him there. He had only had a hope. He only had an intellectual learning from some group that had been back before him. And it is the same thing today. And he writes, intellectual learning. See? I know that's strong, but it's the truth. There was a word, as spoken exactly for that day. And he, an ellipsis, yet he was a scholar, yet he was a renowned person, but he could not recognize it. Why? No matter how scholar he was, anything like that, he still didn't have the representation of predestination. He didn't have the representation of predestination. We say, I have the representation of my predestination. I am predestined before the foundation of the world. And he writes there the representation in the seventh dimension. See? Only the predestined will only be the one who does it. Only can be. It cannot be any other way. In the end, we will see who had representation in the seventh dimension and who didn't. How? You might say, do I have it? Do you believe in the one he sent? There is your answer. As simple as that. Only can be. And you only can do it because, look, it proves predestination. Because if you've got eternal life, you had to be a part of God all times. Because he is the only one is eternal. You see it? Oh my, think of it. Now, watch what happens through the great millennium. Now, he goes on to say, let's see if they found it. I don't know if you found it there, that part. It should be in one of those, in one of the messages. I don't know if in the choosing of a bride or in one of those messages. Let's see if they find it. Look. It's in this one. In the future home. Let's see if we can find the page. If they can find the page for me there. So I can give you that quote quickly. If they have it there on the page. The quote is there, but not the page. Let's see if they can find it. In the seals, he also talks about that in page 341. But in this one, let's see if they can find it quickly. I don't know if it's at the end or... since we're talking about it, to give you the page. If you look a bit further on, the part I was speaking about on that message, in that message, it should say the page number around there. Well, while they find it, let's continue here. Look, he says, that is why the believers won't have to worry if other people don't believe, because it is for those who are going to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is for believers. Is for the believers. Now, look, in this message, three kinds of believers. Here he also tells us on page 17 of this message, he says, then secondly, there comes now the unbeliever. Let's speak of the unbeliever next. What does the unbeliever do? We see the believer, what? Accepts the word. Every race, every generation, from all the way from Noah, all the way up, we could take 6 months of revivals, and he writes campaigns, right on that there, bringing up the characters. They believe. The believer don't question. The believer believes it regardless of what it sounds like or what anybody else has to say about it or how impossible it seemed to be. The believers believe it. Believes what? The word. Not the creeds. The word. Not the denomination. The word. Not what somebody else says. What the word says. And he writes on the right, the believer. Now remember, that is the believer. The believer doesn't question. The believer doesn't say, how can it be? If I can get it explained, that's the unbeliever. The believer that no matter what it is, if it's the word, it is the word. That's true, that's the believer. Now, the unbeliever. Now we see what's will take the unbeliever. We find out that they did all right as long as they get patted on the back and called disciples, which there are many in each time, right? They like to be acknowledged. As long as everything went fine. They were all right. But when this prophet that they believed to be a prophet, as Noah was, that could heal the sick and so forth, what did he do? When the real truth and the rebuke came contrary to what they believed, they couldn't take the word. And he writes there, the unbelievers equals the 70. And below that he writes, the unbelievers can't take the word. They could take the miracles and they performed them. They went out and cast out devils, preached the word, and still unbelievers. Matthew 10. He sent them out, two by two, the 70, and they cast out devils in so much that Jesus rejoiced and said, I see Satan failing like light from heaven. See? They cast out devils. Judas right with them. Here comes the unbelievers. But as soon as Jesus began to say that he was something, that's where they got stuck. There's another saying over here. But you see, they got stuck. Let's see if they found it there. He calls it not. But in the version here, he says, crazy. The translator says there, here the prophet uses the word nut, which has a double meaning. It can be crazy or a fastener. but they still haven't given me the page. That's fine. But what about the page? Okay, let's continue. Let's see. No, I can't see that part here. Let's see the... Oh my, we have to find that part. Or could it be a writing on the back? It could be that it's a writing on the back, in the notes section in the back. Now, well, we'll continue here. Let's continue here in three kinds of believers, he says. But as soon as Jesus began to say what he was, that he was something, that he was the resurrection, he was the life, what would you say if you see the Son of Man ascend up from where he come from? And he writes there on the left what Jesus is, what that man is, which was the Word. Now, this man trying to say he comes from heaven, that's too much for us. We cannot believe that. He said, what is it? The flesh that you're talking about profit nothing. It is the spirit that quickens. There you are. The spirit quickens the word. It's the spirit, not the creed. The spirit of the Holy Ghost quickens the word to you. And he writes quickens and becomes alive. And there you are. You see it. By faith you see it. You know it is. Because the word said so, and the spirit quickens the word to you. There you are. Now, he says, we will, as soon as we did this, we find out the unbelievers, when you say something that they don't agree with, they walk out on you. I just won't. Oh, that's getting so dense in the world today. Start just say something. They gather in. I noticed at meetings. They all gather in, great crowds, and you stand up, start saying something. Now, as long they just sat there, just watching, just waiting, then as soon as you say, now Jesus Christ identified himself as Messiah because that he was a prophet, that jug is done full, always it goes. Somebody, an ellipsis, and away they go. What is it? Unbelievers. And he writes, the unbelievers leave. Now you say, you're making that up. I'm not. I'm saying just exactly what the Bible says here. They were unbelievers and they walked out, though they were disciples. But it was contrary to what they said. They said, this, who could believe a thing like that? Well, the same thing is repeated again today because it's parallel in every way. See, there was Pharisees and Sadducees that had come out, joined and went in with him. Because, see, when the supernatural is displayed, it produces three different types. It did down in Egypt. And he writes there, when the supernatural is displayed, it produces three types of believers. It produced the unbeliever, the believer, and make-believer. It did all three classes. Just wrote down here till we just go on and on through the night explaining it, how it is. Everywhere you find it, you see them three, always that way. See? You find them. Now, Dr. Soto continues to say, remember that not everyone believed in the days of Joseph either, nor in the days of Noah, nor in the days of Moses, nor in the days of the prophets, nor in the days of Jesus. And John the Baptist, they didn't believe John, nor did they believe Jesus. The people, the organized religion of that time didn't believe. Therefore, none of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ should have been discouraged because the religion of their time hadn't believed. And we shouldn't be discouraged because some people don't believe either. What mattered is that they believed. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ones who were ordained to eternal life, they are the ones who had to believe. It is a writing on the back.
En donde él nos dijo esto.
Where he told us this.
Vamos a ver si lo conseguimos.
Let's see if we can find it here.
Bueno, tengo el
well,
por lo menos.
At least I have the writing.
Pero quería leerlo aquí directo.
But I wanted to read it here directly from the notice. What he wrote there was, today we need another knot to pull the bride out of the church.
Pero hay que ver el contexto.
But you have to look at the context of everything there.
Eso fue un escrito.
That was a writing on the back of this message, but it's full of writings. We have to do it little by little to see where it is between the ones. Well, we have seen that this is a time of trial, just as it was in past times. We have briefly gone through some texts where we have seen that time of trial to then receive the blessing. Let's stand. And this way we will live with this subject. Because, notice, in order for them to enter the Promised Land, sanctification was required. The people had to be sanctified. And then God, see, would work wonders in the people. Sanctify yourselves today, wonders tomorrow. We can sing that song of that speaks of sanctification. I don't know if Sharon is there. Sharon Rivera can come up and we can sing that song. Because notice, in that time of trial, the people are required to be sanctified there. Sanctify yourselves so that God can work in the midst of His church without limitations. Time of trial and of blessing. When you see me ready, that is because we would have passed the test. And then, He will transform us. Now, How will he see us ready? Because we will have the full word in us, and he will see himself reflected in you. And he will say, but this one is already ready. This one is already ready. This one is already ready. And that power will begin to move in the midst of the church without limitations. Hey, you're almost there. We will give our friends, our brother, a hand. Look, I'm going to give you a little push here. Oh, it will be a unity without limits, where there will be no more difference in culture, in anything. We won't have those human differences that we often have day by day, and that sometimes cause us to fight with one another, but not at that moment. At that moment, there will be total freedom and unity. In this message, beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation, look, Reverend William Branham says there, many are the testings of the righteous, but God delivers them, but God delivers him out of them all. Oh, how marvelous that is. How we appreciate that. Trials, tribulations, tests, all working for the good. After a while, God can see then that he can put his trust in you. And then he will do great things for you. See, first comes the test, and then the blessings. And he writes there, tested, and then he will put his trust in you. See how beautiful that is? Tested, and then he will put his trust in you. Now, we find out that Daniel became an instrument in the hands of God. While he was away from his own people, out of his own city, away from his own church, in a strange land, God used him. Now, you can be away from whatever you may be. You can be away from all your loved ones, or you can be away from your church, but you can still be an instrument in the hands of God. God can use you for a testimony or for anything that he wishes to use you for. Beautiful examples. The beautiful is just chucked full of those things everywhere you turn. Don't you love to read the word? Oh, I just read it sometime and weep. Here, a few days ago, I was reading in the room there, and I just had to sit down and cry like a baby. I got up and walked around my chair, put my hands on a chair, looked down at my Bible again. I just broke out, went around the chair again, looked back at it again, and I thought, oh God, in there is eternal life. To every man or woman that'll dare to put their trust in it and believe it, eternal life. Now, by looking at him in his second coming, we will overcome. And he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scripture. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet, that we should be guided. Then it's the light that follows the pathway that leads us from victory unto victory. Now, before you can have a victory, there has to be a battle. If there is no battles, there is no victories. So we ought to be thankful for the battles and the tryings. And it's God giving us the opportunity to have victories. And he writes battles and victories. Oh my! Don't that make you a little bit better now? You there feeling a bit down because of the battles. Don't these words make you feel a little bit better? Of course they do. See, the battles come along. Somebody saying something bad about you. And he writes, someone speaking badly about you. Sickness come unto you. Maybe God give you those light afflictions that he might heal you and show his favor to you. Let you see what he means by it. He loves you. The old shepherd story that was told there in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land, of a shepherd was packing a sheep, and he said, What's you packing it for? Said, it's got a broken leg. Said, how'd it do that? Fall over a cliff? Said, no, I broke its leg. He said, why, you're a cruel shepherd to break that sheep's leg. Said, no, I loved it. And said, it was going astray, and I couldn't make it mind me. So I broke its leg so I could give it some extra attention, so then it would love me and follow me. Sometime, God has to let us break down just a little bit in health to give us a little extra attention, to get us upon His lap, to woo us up in His bosom. When the doctor said nothing can be done, then He takes us into His bosom. Say, see, I love you. I'm going to let you get well. See? Oh, doesn't that just make us feel a little better? Oh, he is so great. He is a marvelous shepherd, isn't he? No wonder David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And how he leads us by the side of the still waters and restores their soul and runs our cup over and anoints us in the presence of the enemy. Did you ever get anointed in the presence of your enemy? Just to testify till your cup just boiled over. You know, just how marvelous it is to be anointed when in the presence of your enemy, right in the face. The church bride is being anointed at this end time. Let's continue singing that beautiful song, Sanctification. He will see us ready very soon, and He will transform us. Time of trial and of blessing. Let's live with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.